Verse 13 on the rest of the chapter, we have time. Living on God's highway to holiness. Living on God's highway to holiness. We know that Peter was dealing with a group of people, Christians, was in persecution. They had been murdered, killed, scattered. Tough times whenever Peter wrote this to the Christians, but they, you know, it's always been a tough time for Christians anyway. And I think the growing days in the country that we're living, we're going to see some more tough times for Christians especially. Because this has been the Bible Belt of the world, really. But I really do believe that now that we're living in hostile territory, that people is coming more and more all the time against Christianity. It's all right for any other type of religion, but when you say Christianity and Jesus Christ is the only way, you're going to have a battle. It's all right for all top of religions to get together, but whenever Christianity comes in and says Jesus Christ is the only way, then the war begins. Peter was talking to this group of people at a time whenever they was in dire need of help. And to be encouraged. And his encouragement was that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, may come back today. That was 2,000 years ago as Peter speaking. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ could come back today. That's our day. Now, if you believe that as Christians, did you know it's very possible for him to come back right now while I'm preaching? And I'd like to ask you a question. If you knew for sure that Jesus was going to come back before we got out of church service this morning, would there be anything in your heart, in your life, that you'd like to say, Lord, I'd like for you to forgive me of that. Lord, I know that I've done wrong, or whatever it might be, because the Lord knows our heart. Would there be anything that you'd like to change? And if he let you live, and he didn't come back this hour, and maybe didn't come back to next week, what a difference would it be in your life all next week? If you knew this was the last week that you had to live on this earth, that your Lord and Savior is going to come back and rapture you away, and he's going to come back, would you change anything in your life? I do believe that we at all want to change something. I believe we'd want to give up our chewing gum. I believe we'd want to quit reading our comic books, and I believe we'd want to get right with the Lord, don't y'all? Well, Peter is telling them that he might come back. And this is our greatest encouragement in the tough times that we're living in this country. This is the greatest encouragement that we have. And also, it's the greatest motivation to be a Christian and to serve Jesus in holiness and serve him and worship him, knowing that it had to be closer today than it was yesterday. And we look around, and you don't have to be very old to read the Bible, that I just believe it can be too much longer before Jesus Christ comes back. I really don't. I know that the nation of Israel, you just keep your eyes on the nation of Israel. That's God's chosen people. And I tell you, once the country turns their back on the nation of Israel, that country is going down. And you know exactly what's going on in our country. They already turned their back on Israel, a way of speaking, and it's going down. But Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his people. Reading these verses of scriptures in verse 13 of the 1 Peter chapter 1 and on down, this is, should be a great encouragement for all of us to live a holy life, get up on God's highway of holiness and live holiness towards God. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that it be brought unto you at the revelation, that revealing of Jesus Christ when he comes. As obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as ye which have called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. That means your lifestyle and also your behavior. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect for a person judges according to every man's work, passes the time of your sojourning here on this earth, here in fear, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, but receive the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of lamb without blemish and without spot, who very was foreordained before the foundations of the world, was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let us pray again. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this day for this great word of God, knowing that it could be any time, any day, that we might see the eastern sky begin to split open and our Savior come. It's called the rapture of the church, and we will be caught up together to meet him in the air. Oh, Father, the day, it could be the day. But, Father, we just want to live anticipating, oh, God, of your coming, because we know it's going to be soon. Oh, Father, we just pray this hour that each heart today is laid open to understanding, oh, God, that you're looking down upon us, oh, Father, and you know each heart here today. And really, you know every one of us here today, if we're ready to meet you or we're not ready to meet you, Father. We pray today that everyone will get ready to meet you, Father, because we know that the times is growing short. It's getting closer all the time of you coming to this world again, oh God. And I'm going to tell you, we looking forward for it, oh God, to make righteous upon this earth. Lord, again, we pray for those on our prayer list and those, Lord, that we need to be praying for in our prayer box. And Father, we just want to ask you this day to help us, oh God, to be the people that we need to be, oh God, in these last times. Thank you for this congregation of people here this morning, oh God. Father, we just a bunch of hurting people, oh God. This is your hospital for hurting souls. We pray, God, that every person be able to take something home with them today from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that they might want to live holy. Father, Lord, they might want to live for you. Father, they may have more power than ever had before. Father, they might know they've been in the presence of you, Jesus Christ. Lord, how we pray today that your power will, Lord, to fill this place today. And Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings of Jesus Christ, Lord, this day, for what you have done for us. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, do you need encouragement today? As we look out upon the arising of our country today, and you see so many things that discourages you in our country, in our world today, and you don't know who to look to. We can't look to the government. You can't look to the White House. You can't look to the Washington. You can't look to anything, because we don't know what's going to happen. We need some encouragement. And that encouragement is Jesus Christ. And we need the motivation to be looking for Jesus Christ when he comes back. And that motivation comes from the very Word of God. In Isaiah 41 and 10, Isaiah talking to his people, and he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Thank you, God, for being with us. Amen. Be not dismayed. Don't be dismayed for what's going to happen. As he said, the nation of Israel, they didn't know either what was going to happen to their country. He says, "For I am thy God." Listen, it's God that's going to keep us safe. I'm not looking to our military power, our mights, or our money. I'm looking to the Almighty God. I'm not fearing other nations or other bonds, but I'm going to tell you what, we need to fear God in this country. And that's what he says, "I am thy God." And then he says, "I will strengthen thee." I will strengthen, yea, I will help thee. That's God talking to his people. "I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." That is my power. I will uphold you. I'm going to tell you, God is going to be the one that holds us up. You need encouragement today. And I'm going to tell you what, you need motivation today to live this Christian life and to walk on this highway of holiness. It's God is going to do it. He says, "I'll be here. I'll strengthen you." It's your God. We can't look to other men, because they'll let you down. We don't have anything in this world that we can look to but God himself. And he says, "I'm the one, I'm the God, I'm the power, I'm the one that's going to help you." And I'm going to tell you, if we've ever needed help in our country, it's right now from God. If it's ever when we needed help in our family, it's right now from God. If it's ever we needed help in our churches today, it's right now from God. He says, "I'm the right hand and I'll hold you up." If God don't hold us up, we're going to fall. I can tell you that. God says, "I'll do that." The Lord says, now you need me. This wholeness and this victorious life that he would like for us to live each day. Do you live a victorious life? Are you a born again child of God, washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ on your way to heaven? Are you one of those today? If you are, I'd like to ask you a question. Are you on God's highway to holiness? Are you living a victorious life in Jesus Christ? If not, why not? Well, so a lot of people, you know what, they don't really understand the victorious life. They don't really understand what really is happening. But you see, what is this victorious life? What is this holiness life? Well, I'm going to tell you what it's not. I'm going to tell you what it's not. It's not a life without committing sin, because I do believe that every one of us in here have sin. Do you? So listen, victorious life is not a life living without sin. Because we all slip and fall sometimes, don't we not? So that's not what it is. I'm going to tell you, it's not a life of having any failure, because I have failures. Do you ever have any failures? I mean, do you ever slip up and sin once in a while? Do you ever have any failures? Well, I'm going to tell you also, it's not a life of not having any doubt, because I have doubt sometimes. Do you ever have any doubt sometimes? I do. Tell you, it's not a life, I'm going to tell you, without having any disappointment, because I have disappointment. So you may have some sin, and I'm telling you know what, you may have some doubt, and you may have some failures, and you may have some discouragement. But see, that's still not what I'm talking about, a victorious life, because we're all human beings, and we're subject to those four and more of them. But that don't mean that you're still not living a Christian life. It don't mean that you're not living a victorious life, because we're human beings and we will fall. Holy and a victorious life is a life of bringing our failures, our sins, to allow Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and our failures every day, and giving us a new start in Christ Jesus every day. So my failures, if you're living a Christian life, you listen to me this morning. If you're living a Christian life, and if you want to live a Christian life, a victorious life, it's not because of you don't sin, fail, doubts, and all these other that goes along with it. Listen, it's when you do, and I will, and you will, because we are just have this old fallen nature when we do. But listen, a victorious life and the holy life that God wants us to live is to bring our weaknesses, bring our failures, bring our sins, bring our disappointments, bring our doubts to Jesus Christ every day, and say, Lord, I have failed you this day. I failed you yesterday. I asked you, 1 John 1:9, if I'm confessing my sin. I know that I have sinned. I'm asking you this day. I fall short of the glory of God. I have not served you like I ought to serve you. I have not done the things I should do for you, God. I hadn't done this. I hadn't done that. I have done this and I have done that. But God, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me of my failures? I bring it to you every day. And Jesus Christ says, I will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that is a victorious life in Christ Jesus. He gives us a second chance. But not only that, he's given me the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and give me many, many, many others. Amen. Because we all fail, and we need encouragement. Living this life, and he says here, Peter, that's what he's talking about. To live this life, to understand, if you're going to be victorious in a Christian life, you've got to understand you start new every day, maybe several times a day, that we fail, we fall. We need help. The title now, Living on God's Highway to Holiness, because we know that we have sin. We know we have failure. We have faults in our life. But God says, I'll forgive you if you bring it to me. And I'll be faithful to do that too. So many times we don't do that. The holiness to live this victorious life. Verse 15 is the key. Then he says, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all of your behavior and your lifestyle. Now, God expects us to be holy, to live a holy life. Remember now, just bringing it back to God today. Now, people is kind of nervous now when we say, now, you know what, y'all ought to be holy this morning. I ought to be holy. Us Baptists gets a little bit nervous when we say, you ought to be holy. You see? But God says we ought to be holy. That's not what I'm saying. That's what God says. And we get a little bit of shook up about that because we don't feel like we're very holy. Now, I'm probably one of the bottom ones this morning here today. But most of the time, we don't really feel like we are very holy Christian this morning. All right? Because you know what you done last week. You know what you didn't do last week. You know what you didn't do when offering plate was passed. You know what you didn't do last week, yesterday, whatever. And so we don't feel very holy. But God says for us to be holy. And how are we going to be holy except going back to God and say, Lord, I need another chance. And have it in our heart. He expects us to be holy. But we get kind of nervous about that. We get kind of nervous as Baptists about being holy. Now, you see, we want to be saved, but we ain't too keen on this holiness part. I mean, there are a lot of people who want to come down the aisle and be baptized, but they ain't too much on this holiness part. They ain't too much on this service part. They ain't too much on this worshiping part. Now, they want to be saved, but they ain't too much on this holiness part. Now, we're interested in heaven. Every one of us are interested in heaven, but we're not too interested in holiness. Now, we're interested in our health. Pray for me and our health, but we're not too much interested in holiness. We are interested in our happiness. Lord, pray. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me. We're interested in the happiness, but we're not too interested in wholeness. We are really, really interested in helpfulness. We're ready to help the cancer fund. We're ready to help this and we help that. And we ought to do all this. We're interested in that, but we're still not too interested in holiness. Billy Graham, I was reading his book. He got several books, and I was reading one of them, and it says him and other preachers was in a room, in a motel room, for a conference they had, and they were just sitting around the table, and they was praying, they was seeking God, and great men of God around their table. And then Billy Graham looked around the room, and he told those other men, he says, men, I longed to be holy. I longed to be holy. He says, I want to be holy. Would you men pray for me that I would be holy? How many is sitting in our pews this morning? It's got a desire to be a holy person for God. Like I say, we're interested in a lot of things, but we're not too interested in this holy business. How many we have in our country that wants to be holy? I tell you, there's something missing. And something missing is there's no longing in people's heart in our country to be holy. It all stems back to the Word of God. There's problems in our country, and I'm going to tell you, it stems back to people really have no desire to be holy in our country. In fact, some people even resist against it. And I'm going to tell you, Christians and members of churches are resist against being holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means separated. Separated for a special cause. Some people think holy is going off and live in a monastery somewhere in a hole in the ground and you'll be holy. Now, you might be holy in a hole in the ground, but you don't have to go to a hole in the ground to be holy. Holy is being separated for a special cause. Now, God called you. Do y'all all believe that God has called you? The person here has never been saved this morning. You need to be saved before you leave here. You may be a church member, but you need to be saved if you're not saved. God called every one of us. He called us to be holy because he said, I am holy. You're called and separated for a special cause. Holy unto God, dead to your will, dead to the world, but alive unto God. You've been called. It's like a man and a wife. As I'm married to my wife, I'm separated to her from others. She's separated to me from others. Totally we're separated unto God. It is what you are separated unto, and you're separated unto the Lord. That should motivate you now this hour. Now, here Peter gives us four things now to encourage us, to motivate us to live this holy life. our anticipation of his coming. Because anything else, like I said, if you knew that you didn't have but another hour to live, and you know that you're going to meet Jesus Christ, anticipating him coming back for you singly or coming back as a rest, would it change your life this morning? Anticipation of his coming. Because you see, we are a child of God, and then see our identification with his character. What is God's character? His holiness. And then you see there's examination, there's judgment of his children. Emancipation by his cross. It means it set us free, that we have these privileges in Jesus Christ because he bought us with a price. So our really anticipation of his coming, it motivates us to holiness. Verse 13 again, where it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope of the end, for the grace that be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. People are looking for his coming today. Is he really coming today? John said, 1 John, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That means expecting his coming. If you knew that you was going to leave this earth, you would have a better life today. Remember, expecting of him coming. We need to be single-minded, he says. In these verses of Scripture, they'll be single-minded. In verse 13, it says, gird up your loins of your mind. Talking about your mind. In the Bible days, Peter is talking about the Bible days whenever the men wore a robe around them. Whenever they got ready to go to work, they would gird up this robe they had him, and they would tie a sash around them where they could get ready to go to work. That means gird up the loins. They was all ready to go to work. Today, it would be like men used to say, I'm going to roll up my sleeve and get at it. You're going to roll up your sleeve and you're getting ready to go to work. What you fix to do? You can get serious-minded about it, single-minded about this. Peter said, bring all your loose ends together and be single-minded. Think about this one thing. Think about Jesus Christ coming back. Think about your life, being single-minded. That's what it means, bring all the loose ends together. Paul said, this one thing I do. Now, our minds, as most on Christians today, our mind is mostly spread out on all different types of things. Amen? I mean, we got them scattered everywhere. God knows your heart and your mind now, what you're thinking about, if your foods are burning, or what you fix to do next week, or what you should have done yesterday, and everything we got to do. Paul says, you get all your loose minds together. Quit thinking about all those other things, and all those jobs, and all those activities that you got in school, whatever it might be. Gird up all the loose ends of your mind, and get ready to think about this one thing, and that's Jesus Christ is coming back, and he may come back today. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to make a difference. But you see, what most of us thinks about won't make much difference 100 years from now. Paul talked about now. Be serious-minded, it says there in verse 13 again. Be sober. And that's not talking about drinking. Be sober. Not with a long face or pious look. To enjoy this pilgrim walk that we have until Jesus Christ comes back. We know he's coming back for us sooner or later. Solo, or he's coming back and get us all at one time. Each day. So remember, anticipation of his coming should encourage us and should give us the energy that we need to live on this high road to holiness. But not only that, we find out something else. The identification with his character. Verse 14, 15 to 16. As obedient children, not fashion ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conversation or your lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The angel says, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah 6 and 3 also says, and one cried unto a loud voice, says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. That's God's character, holiness. We are his children. We identify with his character in holiness, like father, like son. You ever heard that? Like father, like son. He, she is the spit image of their mother or their father. You ever heard that? Well, the Bible says the same thing. We are to be his obedient children in his likeness. He sired you, he borned you, he birthed you into God's family. Just like your physical father and mother, you have a father in heaven that borned you into the family. His likeness, you should put on his likeness, and his likeness is holiness. By family likeness, to aware the nature of the physical and the spiritual. Verse 16 again, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. By family love to share. Now, I love my father, and I always want to honor my father here on this earth. I want to please my Father while he was here on this earth, also my Heavenly Father. Verse 19, you know, there's three reasons that we need to obey. Three reasons. You know, a slave obeys because he has to. An employee obeys because they need to. But a son obeys because he wants to. Do you want to obey God this day? Do you really do? Jesus said, he that hath kept my commandment, he that loveth me. If you have kept the commandment of God, it says you loveth me. And then the family loyalty to bear. The Lord's name is holy. We may disgrace the family name because his name is holy. His name is holy. What right does a man or a person have to call himself a Christian, a child of God, if he does not bear the nature of the Father, the divine? What right do people say that I'm a Christian and they don't bear any evidence of the Father's nature? They can say they saved all they want to. Mighty motivation to holiness. Our examination as a child of God, verse 17. And if we call on the Father, who without respect of a person judges according to every man's work, passes the time of your sojourning here in fear. Okay, examination of his children. If you call on the Father, that means if you call yourself a Christian, oh Father, this day, to everybody, can everybody in this building say, oh Father, this day, if you're saved, if you say, oh Father, all right, who without respect of a person judges according to every man's work, past the time of day, sojourn here on this earth. Your work is going to be examined. You are right now, this day, at a dress rehearsal. Every one of us is at a dress rehearsal. Examine ourselves because it's going to be a family judgment. God is judging his family. Not in order to condemn us, because there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is a judgment now. You find this word here, to find something good to reward us of our works. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro across this place. God's looking at every one of us. All the hearts and everything is laid open before God. Not just this day, but every day of our life. By this fearful judgment, he judges have no respect for a person. What does that mean, that God has no respect for a person? He's talking about his children here now. He will not allow any spoiled children in his family. You better understand that. He's no respect for a person. That means they don't nobody going to get by with it. Don't care how long that you have served God, and faithfulness will not buy you 1 minute in disobedience. You may have served him for 40 years, 20 years. You might put a great sum in the collection plate. You might have done all these things for God. But I'm going to tell you what, it won't buy you 1 minute of disobedience with God. Not 1 minute. He knows the reason that you're not committed. He knows the reason. Parents today, you know, they may not know where their children is at 11 o'clock at night, but I'm going to tell you God does. I'm going to tell you God knows where they're at. And there's no such thing as dropout kids. They only drop out parents. If we didn't have no dropout parents, we wouldn't have no dropout kids. But it all goes on. Responsibility that God has given parents, and set the example. And I'm going to say it again, and people don't like this, but you know what? You ought to be at the house of God and show your kids that you love Jesus Christ and want to serve Jesus Christ. You ought to show your kids an example. And they know whenever you're faking it and when you're not. But that's what God says. Also, we find something else. Fearful judgment. We are to pass this time of our sojourn here in fear. Reverence in fear. That means chastisement. There's going to be some chastisement. In Hebrews 12, 6, 7, and 8, it says, you know, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scorneth every son who he receive. If you endure in chastening, God dealeth with you as with son. For what son is he which the father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastisement, whereof you are partaker of the divine, you are illegitimate and not children of God. You see, there's a woodshed. Now, I don't think I ever had, sometimes I did, but I don't think my daddy ever carried me out to the woodshed. He just got me where I was at. I don't remember the woodshed, but I remember that belt. Now, you know, you'd go to jail this day and time if you'd done what my daddy done to me. And they always said, son, I'm doing this because I love you. Well, my mother, she did too. She said, I'm gonna do this because I love you. Now, I had a brother and a sister, and I was the most loved one in my family. Some of y'all might feel the same way. But God says, I'm doing this because I love you, right? This chastisement, he says, I love you. And we do. We love him. And you see, can you really now, some of us, I know, but I have great respect for my mother and my father. My father had been gone a long time. I didn't really understand a lot of things back then whenever I was getting corrected. But I want to thank the Lord that my father put some character in me. And most of you too today are going to understand what I'm talking about. He put some character in me that I'll never forget. You know, that's the same thing that God our Father wants to do to us. He wants to put some character in you that lasts. God put some, my father, ye old boy, yet put some character in me when I was growing up that I'll have the rest of my life. And God the Father wants to put some character in you that you'll have all your life. And it comes from God the Father. I tell you, it'll be good character. It'll be good character. You see, he wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to live a holy life. And my father, you see, I reverenced him. I feared what he would do to me, and I reverenced him. But see, there's a emancipation now by his cross. That means he delivered us. Verse 18, 19, he set us free, redeemed us not with silver and gold, but his precious blood. You know that redeemed, emancipation, that means sets a slave free. And you see, I was a slave. And that's what the cross of Christ done for me. It set me free. And it set you free. The provision of his redemption, you know what? Vain behavior I was living, you know, in a meaningless life. I mean, there was nothing. I was heading nowhere. Before I was saved, I was on a merry-go-round. You get on a merry-go-round, you know, you get back off the same place that you get on. That's what was my life was all about. And there's so many people there is riding this merry-go-round of life, and they get right back off where they get on at. You know, I've watched this a lot in my life, and especially in men, that they be grown up in an area. And I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And they go off different places, and they make a living and a life and raise their kids off in other places. But you know what they want to do? Maybe I'm going to just take rent for a big creek off in there. You know what they want to do when they get older? And they want to come back to their old home place. They want to come back to around where they was raised at. They've made this merry-go-round. They want to come back to this area where it all started at. If we ain't careful, you know, that's all we'll ever have in this life is a merry-go-round. You just come back and get off right where you got on at. God don't expect us to do that, to make something out of our life. Save yourself. Old Peter says, you know, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, save yourself from this up towards generation. That means this, get off this road going nowhere. Price of our redemption was gold, was not gold and silver, but blood. Purpose of our redemption, I'm going to tell you what, to glorify God. Jesus Christ, and in closing, I'm going to have to close it out. I need about another hour. Jesus Christ did not come to save you from hell. That might shock you this morning. Jesus Christ didn't come to serve to save you from hell. That was a byproduct. Jesus Christ didn't even come this earth to save you for heaven. That's a byproduct. That's a byproduct. Fringe benefit, we call it. Jesus Christ came to make you holy. The purpose of your redemption. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says, listen at it very close. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sin. And he'll make you holy when he saves you from your sin. I hadn't got time to go further into this about Zechariah, but there'll come a time when old Zechariah says, one of these days it's going to all be spiritual, all be sacred, one of these days. So I asked you this morning, do you know for sure that you're saved? Are you living a holy life this morning? Are you living a victorious life? Anything that you need to come and get right with God, if he's going to come back before you walk out of this building, will there be something that you need to get right with God? So many times, though, when we give the invitation, Brother Orville, would you come down for the invitation, as we give the invitation, and somebody says, well, if I was to go down there, somebody think I'd done something wrong. Well, join the crowd. We all done something wrong. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you, so afraid that somebody's going to say something about it. Well, don't worry about what people are going to say. Worry about what God already knows. You know, I tell you what, I really do believe I'm the number one need to be down here. There's so much I hadn't done, I should have done, need to do. Are you living a victorious life? Bring it to Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing the song at this time.
This world is not my own. Oh, this world is not my home. My home's been.
You need to pray for your family. You think Jesus Christ will come back today and rapture up the church? Will there be some of your family that you'll never see tomorrow? Never live for Jesus Christ. Never accepted Jesus Christ.
This life is not my own.
You know, you need to be praying for him.
Oh, this life is not my own. I am his and he is
Jesus, for that forgiving power. Thank you, Lord, that you made.